Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. So we find the joy of the Lord is our strength. Our joy in the Lord is our strength. And if we have that joy, we're going to be happy with or without the marriage, with or without a whole lot of friends for young people. If both of us, though, myself and my wife, or a child and the parents, or two friends, if both of us find our satisfaction in Christ, and both of us are already happy with what Jesus gives us, then each of us will be satisfied in a joyful relationship with the other person. We'll have a happy friendship with two teenagers having friendships, or we'll have a happy mate, and we'll be happy, and we'll be happy in marriage because we're already happy in Jesus. And since she wants to do what's right in God's eyes, and I'm happy doing what's right in God's eyes, then we make each other happy because it's a happy person living with a happy person. And we're happy not because of each other, but because of Christ. And so we find here that another person who's happy and satisfied in Christ reflects Christ. That's an extra blessing because they're showing us love and we're showing them love. They have the joy of the Lord and we have the joy of the Lord. We emphasized last week the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, temperance, meekness, or humility. All of that fruit of the Spirit makes a happy marriage. But that comes only by being right with God, saved by Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, living to please Jesus. When we're pleasing Jesus and find our satisfaction in Him, then we're content whatever circumstance we're in. That's what Philippians 4 says. I'm content in whatever state I'm in, whether I have a lot or have a little, whether I'm healthy or sick, I'm content in any state because I'm content with Jesus. My relationship with Christ is what makes me happy. And I believe, like Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in Christ that strengtheneth me. The fact of the matter is, I can do all means I can even be contented in the marriage I'm in or not having a marriage, with the friends that I have or not having many friends for a young person. So we find, first of all, in the beginning, God created and He said, let there be light. My strength, my light, my happiness, my everything comes from my relationship with God by being saved and dedicated to please Him, to serve Him, to worship Him. Secondly, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Not only do we need to find our joy in our relationship to Christ, but we need to reflect the image of God who is love, truth. And that's the way to be happy and to make others happy if we're in Christ, and not only in Christ with relationship to Him, but secondly, that changes us. That makes us be like Christ and reflect Christ. They say that an older couple who's been together for 50 or 60 years often have the same expressions, the same laughter, the same frown. The fact is that when we're spending time with Jesus, we become more like Him. The Spirit of God in 2 Corinthians 5 says, transforms us into His image more and more day by day. And that's what makes others like being with us, because we're like Christ. That makes us like being with others who are good Christians, because they're like Christ. And when two people are like Christ with love and truth and joy and kindness and holiness, that makes it all the happier marriage. Here we find that in Genesis 1:27, the first part of the verse only, Genesis 1:27. God created man in His image. God is holy. God is loving. We need to be in His image. Be like Christ as a good friend, and you're going to make your friends happy. If your friend is like Christ, you'll be happy. Be like Christ as a good spouse, as a good son, as a good father or mother. What is he like? Well, God is holy. He doesn't want to do anything bad. He wants to do all good, separated for his glory. He's faithful and true. And if we're faithful in our marriage and faithful in our friendships, people can trust us and we're trustworthy like God, then we're going to have a happier relationship. He's righteous and wants to do right in all things. He's meek and humble of spirit, Jesus says. And so if we're like Christ was on earth, meek, humble of spirit, teachable, not always wanting to tell others what to think and do, but we want to learn from them because we respect them and honor them. If we're kind and gentle with them, if we're considerate, loving, thinking about them and their needs instead of our own, being merciful, easy to forgive others because we have mercifulness inside of us, and if we're trustworthy, then we're going to be happier because our conscience won't bother us. We'll be happier that God has made us a better Christian, and others will be happier living with us. And when others are like that, if I marry a spouse like that, then I find out that I'm happy and fulfilled in that kind of relationship that reflects God because we were both created in God's image. And so when two people reflect Christ, then it's because they're both interested in what interests Christ. They have the same interest and the same agreement with the Bible and with Christ about what's important, about what are the standards we should have, what convictions should we have. We get close. I get close to Christ. My wife gets close to Christ. One friend gets close to Christ. The other friend gets close to Christ. And it's like a triangle. The closer I get to Christ, the closer my wife or one friend and another friend get to Christ, the closer they get to each other, like the triangle. The farther each one gets from Christ, the farther we get from each other, like the two sides of the triangle. The fact of the matter is, when I'm in agreement with Christ and my friend or my husband or wife are in agreement with Christ, then we find out we're in agreement with each other. So the important thing then is to be like Christ, to be in the image of Christ, to love what Christ loves, to hate what Christ hates, to have the standards that Christ wants for us, to reflect Christ in everything. And then when we have a mate like that, it's an extra blessing because we can live in the reflection of Christ, of love, joy, holiness, righteousness. And so we find then that how can we do this? Well, only God can form that character in us. It says in Amos 3:3, how shall two walk together except they be agreed? How can I be agreed with another person? Well, I'm in agreement with God. They're in agreement with God. We're in agreement with each other. Well, how can we come to that closeness to God and that agreement with each other? Well, that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes in. Only God can form that character in us, and he does it for those who are truly saved. Again, I emphasize that. Are you truly saved? Have you received Christ as your Savior? And not only that, but are you living for him? Do you show that you're truly a Christian because you're living for him with a lot of prayer, meditation in his word, faithfulness to the church? You're trusting in the power of his Holy Spirit to help you to change, to help you to do what God wants. You're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Well, that's how we get close to God. Be saved, be dedicated to him, be much in the word, much in prayer, trusting much in his Holy Spirit. And then he forms Christ's character in us. And so we can reflect the image of God and have a happier relationship with others. The reason people don't have a happy relationship with each other is that one or the other is not reflecting Jesus. And usually it's because neither one of them are really living close to Jesus, in agreement with Jesus, reflecting Jesus, his love, his kindness, his righteousness. And so as a result, there's conflict. When we are not living close to Jesus, we're not in agreement with each other. And even if one is in agreement with the Lord and the other's not, then there's going to be conflict. But the third thing we find after the fact that we need to find our joy in Christ because it comes from Him, then we need to reflect Christ because He is the image of God and we need to be in His image. And then Genesis 1:27, the second part. Wait for the mate that God wants to give you. Wait for the mate that God wants to give you. And when God gives you that person, be content with that person. And don't think that you're going to be happier with someone else. Genesis 1:27, in the image of God created He them. And notice this, male and female created He them. Then it says in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I want what's good for man. So I will make a help meet for him, a help that's exactly matches him, coordinates him, two pieces of a puzzle that fit together perfectly to make the puzzle complete. Verse 22 of Genesis 2, Genesis 2:22, of the rib which the Lord God hath made from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. It says that God made woman from his rib. Some have said not from his foot that he should stomp on her, not from his head that she should rule over him or tell him what to do, but from his rib so that he would take care of her and love her and hold her close and protect her. Here we find then that we must wait for God to give a mate and then be content with what God gives, and it'll be a male and a female. Male and female created He them. Notice God didn't make many sexes to choose from. He didn't say I could be half and half or something else. It's either male or female. One of two things, though the world says different now in their illogicity, because they're very illogical. And then He never makes two of the same to be married. He makes a man and a woman and brings one man to one woman to be married. First it's man and woman, not the homosexual relationship. Then God makes only one woman for that man. God expects us to be together till death do us part. Trust God to bring you the right person. Wait on God. Don't rush and get involved in a relationship that God has not brought that person to you. But when He brings that person, be content and realize it's going to be a woman with a man and only one woman and one man until death do us part. And it's the rule for pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that a pastor has to be the husband of one wife. He has to be a husband. He has to be the man. But then he can only have one wife as long as she's alive. One at a time, we could say. When she dies, God might have another one prepared for him after death. But the fact is that it's until death do us part. We find then that that's one of the things we'll emphasize in a later study, that one of the secrets to a happy marriage is to realize that this is until death do us part. No matter what happens, how bad or good the marriage is, we're going to be married. We might even have to be legally separated for a while if sin comes into the home and one person is beating or mistreating the other. But the fact is that we're still married and we're trying to get back together, and that's God's plan that keeps the family together, to realize that this is until death do us part. One man for one woman, and only one man for one woman, until death do us part. And then Genesis 1:28 to finish today, see children as a gift of God, and if He gives you children by His grace as a gift, then raise them to serve God. 2 John says there's no greater joy than to see raise children who serve God and see them walking in the Lord. There's no greater suffering almost than to raise children who do not want to live for God, who do not want to serve God, who are rebellious to God, and then don't respect their parents or honor them. But the man or the woman who spends his life praying, seeking God's help because he can't change his children's heart with his own wrath, but presents them to God, tries to raise them to be truly saved and serve God. That's the blessed man. Notice in Genesis 1:28 how it starts. God blessed them. He made them happy. He blessed them by saying, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Notice it says in Psalm 126 and 127, the children are a blessing from the Lord. Some people say, no, the child is a cursing. No, the child is a blessing. And it's a blessing if God gives us many children to raise for him, to raise in Christ for God. The fact of the matter is, that's why he gives us the children he gives us, to reach them for Christ, to turn them to Christ, to train them to be our spiritual children, to be holy and to be his disciples of Jesus, who live to worship and serve Jesus. Is that how you're raising your children? If God gives you children, pray. If God will give you that grace of having children. And you don't have to limit. You can trust God to provide for 4 children as much as for 2 children. God's not poor. God will give you strength. He'll give you wisdom. And he'll give the provision for raising 4 or 6 or 8 or 10 children if he wants. But don't be afraid to be fruitful and multiply. That's a blessing of the Lord, not a curse. But we need to realize that it's only a blessing if we train them to serve God. Is that what you're doing? You take your children to church faithfully. You read the Bible with them at the house faithfully. You talk to them about how you love Jesus and you hope they love Jesus, and you talk about it faithfully. You pray for them. You give them a good example of parents who are living for Jesus, witnessing for Jesus, praying, reading their Bible, living a holy life, and are happy doing all of those things. You give them that example, and you're continually encouraging them, saying, son, daughter, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Maybe when you leave this house, I pray you always want to serve the Lord, but that'll be your decision. But my job is to train you right now to serve the Lord. That's the reason that you were born. That's the reason you're on earth. That's the reason I give you food and God gives us provision so that we can spend our lives serving him. And then it says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I raise children to think of one day having children themselves that they can raise to influence the next generation. And if God doesn't give me physical children or give my children physical children, then we should have spiritual children to raise and disciple for Jesus. And so we should train our children as we do to witness, to evangelize, and to pray that God will use our witness, our giving the gospel, to get others saved and discipled for Christ. That's the reason I'm on earth. That's the reason you're on earth. That's the reason God gave us children, so that they're on earth to be able to disciple others for Christ and be fruitful and multiply through the generations, one after another, to live for Jesus. The song I mentioned that I'm trying to emphasize this year in our church is living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the blessing, pathway of blessing for me. Oh, I want to live for Jesus. I hope you want to live for Jesus. I hope your children want to live for Jesus and that they want to win others to Christ so they can become their spiritual children and disciple them to live for Jesus also. This is the way to have a happy home. Number one, God created. We need to go to God for all of our satisfaction and strength and blessings and everything, and realize that it comes only from God and a relationship to God alone. Number two, it comes from reflecting the Lord. And when we marry someone who reflects Jesus, and we have a friend who reflects Jesus, then those two friends or that husband and wife can have a happy friendship, because two, when they walk together, when they're agreed together that they love God, want to serve God, will make a good friendship. But then we need to not only reflect Him, but we need to be content with what God's given us and wait on God to give us what He wants, to give us the friends He wants, and then to be content with that mate that God might give to us and not want anything else. And then we need to have children, if God allows us to, and see that as a blessing to raise to serve Him and glorify Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to live for Jesus, to win others to Jesus, and disciple others for Jesus, to make disciples. And help us, if You allow us, to be married and have children, to seek to disciple them to serve Jesus, to disciple them that they might make disciples of others throughout the generations this can continue. We just pray, Father, that our lives would be given to live for Jesus, find our happiness in Jesus, and then we'll be happy with or without marriage, in a happy, contented marriage or in difficult marriage, we can still be happy because our happiness is in Jesus and in His guidance. But help us, Father, to reflect Jesus, and help us to be around friends and to seek a mate who reflects Jesus. And help us, Father, to raise children for Jesus as You would have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you again for being with us today. We appreciate your allowing us to share the Word with you. We hope you can be with us on Sunday morning at 10:30 to hear this Bible study in Spanish. But if not, we're here to serve you. You can write us at Iglesia, the little at sign, sbcglobal.net. And we're here then to serve you as we can for God's glory. Give us an email. Write us a memo here on Facebook's memo part that they give underneath the title. And we'll be able to know if you appreciate this and if you want us to continue giving these studies in English. And know that God's using it for His glory and to make you more joyful in the Lord. God bless you now. Goodbye.